When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You hate advertising. I hate advertising. You have to listen to the Sun Ranto Show with advertising because you are not a Patreon supporter. Patreon supporters get the Sun Ranto Show without advertising. So why not join the 100+ people that have given us at least $1 a month and supported the Sun Ranto Show? You've come this far. Go that extra step and become a patron at patreon.com/sunranto. Please. You hate advertising. I hate it too. Come on. Stop making things supported with ads. Here's the show.
Cubby blue blood flowing through our veins. Sitting in the bleachers in the rain. We shed a million tears and drank as many old style beers out at the game. Let's go, Cubby Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto and the lovable loser. Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto and the lovable losers. Sun Ranto.
Sun Ranto! Yeah, that's what you get. We were sweeping the Trashtros.
You guys, I just went down hard. I kind of sit in the chair. And I felt,
no, oh, yeah, man. Another cubby on the IL.
Another cubby on the IL. I'm out. You got to take me out of the game. You got to get somebody up from on the 40-man. Get somebody up from Iowa. Hey, welcome to the Sun Ranto Show. My name's Danny Rocket. I'm coming to you live from yet another state. Maine. I am in Maine. I am in the house of Sun Ranto founder Lyle Acker. And it's his 50th birthday on Saturday. We're going to the Red Sox game Sunday. I couldn't be more excited.
I thought Lyle might come on and do the call to begin the show. But then, you know, he recognizes I'm the best at it.
He just doesn't want to do this stupid show anymore is all it is.
I know.
We're going to do the show tomorrow. But, hey, my name's Danny Rocket. I am drinking a Heineken Zero tonight. And that's infield fly girl, who we haven't heard from yet, in a very colorful jersey and drinking a very colorful beer.
That's right. Tonight colorful I evening. Have from Pike Brewing up here in Seattle. This one is called Women in Beer. So we are, this is a West Coast Amber. I'm going to go ahead and pour this in a second, but I wanted to, like, coordinate. I got this this Yokohama Bay Stars jersey from a friend of mine who lives in Japan. And this 2 weeks ago, I think now, was their Girls Festival. All of the teams in NPB do a weekend a year where they celebrate their female fans. And they put out these, like, awesome, pink, colorful, bright, shiny, cheery jerseys. And so I really wanted the one from this year. The name on the back, I got Yasuaki Yamazaki, who's their closer. It was a really fun, like, walkout song. But look at this! It is pink. It's glittery. Oh, wow. I'm obsessed.
And shiny. That's freaking awesome.
That is very cool.
It is it's giving me a little bit like hospital smock at the maternity ward, you know, like with the where the new babies are, and then they like, oh, here's the new baby, and you wear that jersey.
She's the fun nurse.
You know what else I got? Well, first of all, I got this to bring to Chicago. This is the BayStars mascot, DB Starman. So I'm going to tweet that around and see if Shota recognizes it. But we also have one Cubs legend who is on the team this year, and I got his support towel. I told you guys about support towels. This is Rowan Wick's support towel.
Oh, wow. I was not expecting you to say Rowan Wick.
I wasn't expecting to hear about support towels. But so
I love it.
Can a support towel be like Linus's blanket, like your security blanket? You just, instead of a security blanket, have a support towel.
It's the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
That's like, right. Rule number one. The Bladder Beast of Troll. Because if you can't see it, it can't see you. But it also has the added benefit of serving. It's like having, instead of a cardboard sign, you know, you got this, you wave it up in the air, you can spin it around. You can, you know, I mean, it is actually a towel. You can wipe your face with it if you want to. But ultimately, like, you can ball the thing up, shove it in your bag, and it's good for forever. And they come in lots of different designs. That's a support towel. I got some up here that are support towels for different teams. I love them.
You know what, Danny? This needs to be our thing. Let's go into the Major League Baseball support towel thing. Like, let's make Fetch happen in the States.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we can get In the Clutch Shirts, who actually sponsors this show, to make us In the Clutch support towels. They might do it.
They might be up for it.
They might even let us use code 10 Son Ranto for 10% off. How's that?
There you go. Well,
like how I slipped that little ad in there. They do support the show. But to be fair, we are contractually obligated to say something nice about In the Clutch Shirts and how you should buy them.
Yeah, well, for me tonight, I have a Peace Tree Brewing Company. Get a little hazy. This is from Knoxville, Iowa, and it looks like that. It is very orange, and it tastes like it has a lot of orange in it. It's a hazy IPA, which I love. It's a little sweet for like an everyday drinker, but
right.
But if you're sort of just getting into IPAs, this would be a great one to start with because it does taste very orangey, like orange juice. And then, of course, I'm rocking an old school hat. Danny, you may remember this from a certain photo that has been in the calendar for many years. I had this on backwards in my head down on the bar there in Maine.
IFG's exact hat that you guys are not wearing the same hat, except for that IFG's looks way newer and way less, you know, salt head sweaty. You know, like you've definitely sweated your head into that hat at that point. That's how I had one of those too, and the whole thing turned gray because of my the salt coming off the sweat in my head.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I would like to mention to everybody out there, hashtag Chance in the chat, and I will send a Frank Chance postcard to you by me with a message of love and doom. I sent about, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 12 of them out yesterday. It was one of the things I was trying to get done before I left town, and I got it done. So
Bernie, it does not smell. Bernie just asked if my hat smells. No, my hat does not smell. I've had this hat for a very long time, but I have actually the reason I still have it is because I have actually taken care of it. And in recent years, I've switched to more the flat brim than this, but.
Yeah, you rock it against your style.
Do you wash your hat?
I decided to go really old school. I've got my Ivy Envy shirt. I've got my Ivy Envy pint glass. And I've got my old getting drunk in Boston baseball cap.
Very thematic.
Well, I am actually wearing a Ranter shirt. This, I don't even know if this is still available on Amazon. It's with the bloody letters of, the, of Ranter. It's very comfortable shirt.
Shankless
from the Shankless days. Yeah, I stopped making those. I just kind of quiet exited out the back door without saying anything. But the I do love these bloody letters. And I did make a Ranter hat that we're going to use for Ranter Fest coming up. And people were kind of voting for that bloody letters for the Ranter as well. But in the end, we went with the hat with that looks all space age with the line through it. I'm going to put it up right now. Now, this is exactly like the John Baker Day hats, except for like the trucker hat style, except for it says Ranter. And yep. Anyway, this is all through this company called Custom Ink. And what they do is really cool. It's like I don't even have to touch the freaking hat at all. They will ship it to you, or you can pick it up at Ranter Fest. Like one of the two things, and they deal with all the charity stuff. So I got to pick Lost Boys as our benefactor, and they send the money. They send the hats. I just bring the hats to Ranter Fest. Who wants them? There, you save $5 on shipping or something. But
very, very nice. So anybody that orders that hat will. That's not for us. That's for the Lost Boys.
Yeah,
get out there and support them.
But
buy multiple cool hats. Yeah, buy multiple ones for all your friends.
Going.
You know, and those hats. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say those hats are really good with all that white. If you're into getting autographs, that would be a perfect hat for you to take down and get autographs on because there's, it's a nice spot for them to write. Very bright. So. Just something to think about. Buy one for yourself to wear and then buy another one to get signatures on.
So this show, before we get into everything, this show is brought to you by you, the Patreon supporters. And I just want to thank Terry who joined on this month. And I didn't realize that there was a message that I kind of missed from Moni in the Netherlands. You talk about it. Ivy Envy, Michael, you're wearing the Ivy Envy shirt. You got the Ivy Envy mug. Moni was an Ivy Envy listener who now just started supporting us on Patreon. And they sent me a letter. They're from the Netherlands. So we've got people in Australia, the Netherlands, Brazil, Canada. Like, this is an international freaking Cubs show now.
If only we had the sort of sponsorship that some podcasts get, we could do a world tour. Wouldn't that be amazing if we just did a world tour where we went and visited? Conan O'Brien is doing this bullshit now because he had a podcast. He talks to people all over the world. And then HBO gave him a bunch of fucking money so that he could fly there with his crew and talk to the people that were already on his podcast.
So what you're saying is you'd like to be Conan O'Brien. I understand we all would like to be. Why not?
I'm telling you, he's tall and he's thin and he's rich. He's everything that I want.
That you wish you were. if you'd like to make us tall, thin, and rich, patreon.com/sunranto. But I also want to shout out Blake Beard for being a super duper ranter, Rogue Wave creative, and Mike Waller and the Cubs PS Plus podcast, which I listened to that today on the airplane. He does a freaking awesome job. Matt Kammerer's Permanent Paintings is also a sponsor, and In the Clutch shirts. We're going to give away an In the Clutch shirt tonight. And we're also, I want to shout out Matt Kammerer real quick because this is incredible. I asked him to make a Ranter Fest poster. And he did, and we're printing them up, and they'll be for sale too because we're going to get them printed up real nicely. This is a Matt Kammerer. He told me this is out of my comfort zone, but I'm going to do it for you, Rocket. And here it is, the Ranter Fest poster of 2024. Look at this! Look at this! It's pissing in troughs and turning it into beer.
Yes, Harry lives on in the taps.
Harry lives out of the taps. Ranter 69. If for the podcast listeners, what this is a poster for Ranter Fest. I asked him to do like a San Francisco psychedelic 1960s sort of vibe, and he did this. I don't know who the tall guy on the left is. I don't know who Eddie
Adams I don't know either. At first, I thought it was going to be the three of us, and then I realized the whole trough thing wouldn't work for IFG. I mean, well, she could make it work. I don't think anybody wants to see it on a poster.
I don't know. I think you're wrong about that. But
I take that back. Sadly, there's probably lots of people who would pay a lot more to see that than they would to see me peeing at a
Anyway, Everett loves the poster. Bill loves it. Bernie loves it. Yeah, I love it too. It's exactly – Everett says the tall guy is him. All right, that is you then. We're saying from now on the tall guy is you, Everett.
I mean, honestly, that could be fucking Ivy Envy right there.
We'll see. That's who
fucking
it is.
Tall guy is Kurt.
Yeah, it's Kurt. Yeah, there's
Kurt, Andy, and Corey.
But IFG, you have the 69 jersey. Did you fuck up their names again? Oh, you did, yeah. Didn't you?
No, so I got their names right.
I have a road gray that I bought off of like DHgate or something because Fanatics can't count to 13. But yeah, no, I have a road gray that's, you know, infield fly girl 69. I bought that one years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm kind of shocked that I don't have a 69 jersey. Like,
I was just like, you know what? Like, I had never even been to Chicago at that point, or at least never been to Wrigley Field, and I was like, I'm just gonna be the nicest fan on the road.
Yeah, I've got the Ron Santo throwback, and it's the 1969 road jersey. So I don't have one with 69 on it, but it's the 69 road jersey.
So
that's as close as I'm getting, I guess.
Hashtag chance in the chat, not champs. I think Joey's already gotten into grandma's liquor. Champs. And I also want to thank Joey. He gave me this hat. I've got the cursed ghost hat. And it does seem like we are a little cursed this year. Snake bit. How about this for a transition? Little snake bit. We're really hurt this April. Say is hurt. Belly's hurt. Kyle Hendricks sucks, and he's hurt, and Smiley's hurt.
Kyle Hendricks is quote unquote hurt,
and
they say he's hurt. So
Tyone was hurt, just came back, been doing good. Who else is hurt? Am I missing anybody? Those are like some big. Oh, Justin Steele.
Steele. He's been gone for so long.
So, but yet we continue to win baseball games against seemingly good teams, although I don't think the Astros are good right now, but I don't know.
This
is going great.
It makes me happy several ways. It's been great for my trivia team. We change our names every week, and it's always like whatever's going on in baseball. So like for the new year, I did Auld Lang sign someone because we still hadn't signed anybody yet.
Clever.
Yep, so we had, the Los Angeles Tax Dodgers. We were Shohei Ohtani's FanDuel account reps. and of course, we did opening Shotas. So we, last week, as Mariners Cubs folks, we celebrated the Houston Astros.
Very nice.
Remained in last place. And this is always the first time that I used the same name 2 weeks in a row. And then Cody had to jump into a brick wall. So now we are Cody Bellinger's busted rib cage.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's really tough right now to think of how this is going to continue on well. Like, here I am in Boston. The Cubs are coming to Boston right now. And, you know, I mean, Boston isn't playing great either. They stink at home. We're going to go into that. But, you know, these things even out. But it's kind of shocking that we just swept the Astros. I mean, the Astros that have been good for like a full decade and never sucked. I mean, when's the last time?
7-19. It's so delightful.
Yeah, their players aren't necessarily performing terribly. They just don't, like, overall, they're not performing terribly, but they don't seem to put it together on the same night. So yeah. That's why the team itself isn't doing well. But yeah, we went up against Verlander today, and look, in the Discord, it was like a Verlander fucking love fest in there. He's so damn good. He's so good.
Yeah.
And yet the Cubs held in there. Javier Assad, just a freaking beast, is just mowing guys down and keeping them in it. And they were able to pull it out against the bullpen. And that's, I mean, talk about a good game. This maybe was not the game with the most fireworks or the most exciting game. But on a whole, what we saw today, the way that they outlasted Verlander, and then not a terrible outing by the Houston bullpen, got through it. And our bullpen held up, right? Like, everything worked for the Cubs today. Yeah.
Well, they only gave up 4 hits today. PCA with his first hit, which happened to be a dog.
So his really first for the kid. The kid can't hit. He's like 30-0 or some shit. He can't do it. And then he finally gets a hold of one, and it went like 369 feet.
Yeah, Mike Waller from Cubs PS Plus, I think Talkman put 30 pitches on Verlander himself. There was an Amaya at bat that was a bunch of pitches as well. Dominic says outlasted them all series, and that's because we didn't win by a lot. Like, today was 3-1, yesterday was 4-3, and the first game was probably the easiest when they won 7-2. I was at that game. That was a lot of fun.
And outlasted them makes sense too, because they scored all their runs at the beginning, and then they just had to hang on for the most part.
Yeah, and Talkman, I mean, talk about stepping up, because when you have all these injuries, like, you know, normally your fourth outfielder will come in and not do a whole heck of a lot. You're just hoping that he gets a single or something, you know. But Mike Talkman hits 2 home runs in a game. That's always going to be unexpected. He's not really known for just having massive power. Still probably won't be even after that, but it's been cold at Wrigley, and, you know.
I don't know if you want to get into it now, but I talk about Talkman a little bit here in the Rakes and Flakes.
Yeah. We should just go right into it. I do want to ask you one thing, though. Were you surprised, and are you still surprised, that they got rid of Cooper? I thought that was
blown away.
A little weird.
Especially
air.
No, I don't care at all that they got rid of him, but the guy had a 115 OPS plus. He wasn't dazzling anybody, but he seemed solid, right? Like, they held on to the two guys who shall not be named last year until like freaking June, and they were terrible the whole time. And Cooper was solid. I honestly thought that he had solidified his spot on the team, honestly, for the rest of the year, because if he just played the way he did as a part-time player coming in and doing what you needed him to do. Yeah. And then they got rid of him, and immediately the team fell apart. Like, 4 guys went to Illinois. It's like, oh, we didn't have to get rid of him. We could have held on.
Tom Cooper brings up that the guy had a great last name.
He really did.
So true. He was born on Christmas.
Oh, like, he had a great last name.
Santa Claus is going to be mad at us.
He had a terrible face, though. I mean, maybe people just maybe he's just not great in the dugout. You know, maybe he's kind of. I don't know.
I did my normal like spring training thing where I stalk all of the Cubs non-roster invites to see who I like and who I don't before the season starts. And Garrett Cooper seemed really nice. He's got, you know, cute kid, really nice looking wife. They like dress up in theme Halloween costumes, which is painfully adorable. And like, he's a big union guy. So, you know, I was rooting for him. I thought he performed well enough. Like,
That seems like a union guy is usually like a team player type of thing.
Exactly.
I mean, the way he was so unceremoniously let go, and the fact that a fan had taken a picture of him walking out of Wrigley Field, being like, I think Cooper just got DFA'd. I'm like, maybe he forgot something in his car? I don't know. But it was a little bit surprising.
Yeah. How about Cubs fans just being the absolute – look, I'm not going to say the Cubs fans are the smartest fans out there, but we are so damn connected to our team. And we know what's happening, that literally somebody saw him on the street, took a picture, and like, no, I know what's happening. Dude just got let go. I can just look at him and tell.
That's a DFA face he's making.
That's, DFA face.
I've got resting.
No, DFA I'm doing fine. Sorry, I just have a little DFA face going today. But it's just amazing that somebody was able to just see this guy walking across the street and put like three and three together and come up with DFA, right? And just be like, dude's
like,
done.
Why else would he be leaving right now?
Yeah. I was absolutely amazed by that. It was not broken by anybody who has a name. I don't even know who did it. Just a picture of a fan on the street.
Well, and they've shown that they're really willing to make quick decisions. Like last year, the three of us sat here and we were like, oh my God, why won't they do this thing that everybody knows they should do? You know, they would never do it. And then all year we'd just be frustrated. And then this year they're like doing things. Okay. Adbert's blowing saves. Okay. You're demoted. Neris is the closer. Adbert, you figure it out in the sixth inning. You know, we're building you back up. We're going matchups right now. But they're quick to make these decisions. That's got to be Craig, because that's the only difference I could see. And then the other thing is the DFA of Cooper. Like, hey, we're going to go a different direction. I know you're hurt, but up comes Mervis. Up comes PCA. Like, it's because of injuries, though.
Right. Now, okay, so I'm glad they're giving Mervis the shot. But honestly, why not get rid of Madrigal? Like, Madrigal and Wisdom are the two guys, like, they're the reason, if you really want to know, they're the reason Cooper's gone, right? Because if they were just bringing up Mervis and they were thinking the way that we think, we would have been like, no, you're either sending, you're DFAing either Mervis or Wisdom. And I say DFA, even though they could just send him down.
Send him down.
But they need to. Mervis is actually already on the. Mervis is on the 40 man, but they thought they needed a 40 man spot at that moment. And I think for a pitcher. And that's the only reason I was saying like DFA, because you would normally just send those guys back to Iowa and bring Mervis up in their place and just do it that way. But if they actually needed that 40-man roster spot, it's, in my mind, it's all day Madrigal. You can make an argument for Wisdom, but I just think Madrigal is the person to get rid of, so I don't know why they went with Cooper. I mean, IFG, Madrigal, Wisdom, what are you thinking? She's like, wait, can't we talk about somebody I like?
I've got very little against either of them. Wisdom, you know, strikes out like 80% of the time, and like he has two settings, right? His two settings are whiff and dong, and like some of that is fun, and you know,
that's a rejected
doing it, so I can't complain too much. And
that's a rejected obvious shirt.
Exactly what he is. Which is the dude who has to get a running start to throw to first base and, you know, hit weak ground balls. I don't know what you want me to say.
Especially, did you see that play? Like, it wasn't hit that hard, but Morrell made a nice leaping catch of a ball the other day. And Madrigal, like, he had to get on a stepladder to even come close to catching that ball. But regardless, Craig's,
and I mean, it's not Nick Madrigal's fault that Christopher Morrell is 2.5 feet taller than he is.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing. Like, I think, IFG, you said it best. I don't necessarily have anything, like, against these guys. They're just redundant in their position, yeah, right? Like they're holding guys back that should be there.
Well, they're not,
and they're getting these opportunities.
Well, now well, they're superfluous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
last
but
year they were holding them back.
I absolutely want to go back real quick and just that's an obvious shirt rejected shirt.
Yeah,
I've got two speeds, whiff and dong.
Yeah, it's also a rejected scratch and sniff sticker.
Jesus Christ.
I liked this comment from Brad that I screenshotted, which was Christopher Morel has climbed back to average defensively per defensive run saved. He's at -1 runs in StatCast's FRV, which appears to be what they are calling their defensive blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he's an average third baseman, which is all we ever wanted.
Well,
and that's all we ever said.
The important thing is because he was below average, that means he has performed in above average ways so that now his average is balanced to average.
There you go.
Like he has been above average.
Yeah, no, great point. Because if you start out below average for the first few games, you do have to play above average in order to get to less than a month into the season, or right at 1 month into the season.
You got to get some A's to bring that D up to a C.
Absolutely. And this is what we on this show have been saying for a year and a half, that he just needs the opportunity to continue to play, and he's going to get better at that position. And I'm sorry, no one believed us. No one. Everybody, all the stat heads who had the numbers that they cite that they never tell us where they are. They don't show us the numbers. They don't explain the numbers. They just say, trust me, the numbers say Morel isn't good. And we're like,
that's it.
I've been banging the drum for Morel on this show since before I was a regular here.
Yeah. No, you were. Because you're an Aguilas fan, so you clocked him way back in the DR days. And, well, we need to take a break soon, but why don't we do – let's do rakes and flakes.
Let's run through it quick.
Yeah, let's do it because we got a lot to get through. And
we've talked about a lot of this. Yeah, we've talked about a lot of this already, so I'll just run through it and then chime in where you feel needed to. So
today I'm going to show you how to rake.
All right. The rakes. Over the last 15 days, there are two guys with a minimum of 30 at-bats. I had to cut it off somewhere. Who have risen. They're risen to the top with each having an OPS of 941. And that's Nico Hoerner and Mike Tauchman. They both have an OBP of 404. And they are both slugging 537. Exactly the same. OBP and slugging, exactly the same. Tauchman has 13 hits and 6 walks to 9 Ks in that time frame, along with his 2 dongs. Nico has 21 hits and 2 walks with 5 Ks, but no home runs. What he does have is 6 doubles and a triple for 7 RBI. Machine. Yeah, 7 RBI and 9 runs scored to Tauchman's 6 RBI and 6 runs. But I'm going to give this rake to Nico because he has scored more and driven in more runs, right? So that's ultimately better. And his 389 batting average is better than Tauchman's 317 batting average, especially when you consider Nico has 13 more at-bats. So he's had to keep that up longer than Tauchman. So we're going Nico Hoerner with 1A being Tauchman.
All right. Nico the Raker, which is good because he really had a tough start to the year. What it makes me think of is the fact that these guys keep flipping off who's going to be the Raker of the week. That's great because when you have a feast or famine offense, when all the guys are good and they put up 23 runs, or they're all bad and they never score. Like, I'd rather just keep scoring 5 runs a game. Just keep going 5 runs, 4 runs, 6 runs, 7. And sometimes you put up a laugher, but some everybody's got to pick each other up, and that's kind of what's been happening this year so far. So let's hope it
And it's continue. Honestly terrible when you go in looking for the raker and the raker is actually bad. He just happens to be better than everyone else. But okay, let's hit the flakes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I haven't worried about flakes since my grunge days. Remember them?
Oh, this one goes to our guy, Christopher Morrell.
Yeah. Look,
I'm not sure what happened to him, but ever since he had some minor thumb issue, he has just fallen off a cliff, which makes me think that thumb issue might have been a little more than minor. In 41 at-bats, Morrell has only had 4 hits, and he is slashing 162, 279, 297 for a 362 OPS. This is over the last 15 days, so that's by far the lowest for qualifying hitters by like 200 points. But despite him being a flaker, I have good news. So he has drawn 8 walks over that time frame and only struck out 12 times. That is a 16% walk rate and a 24% strikeout rate. But on the season, he is at a 19% strikeout rate and an 11% walk rate. So wow. To put that into perspective, last season, the MLB strikeout rate, the average, was 22.7%. So that his 19% on the season so far is better than that. And then the walk rate was 8.6%. And he's at 11%. So he's above average in both of those categories. So that's awesome. And if you look at just Christopher Morrell's stats, his K rate has dropped 22%. The average strikeout rate of the entire league last year, he has dropped. Actually, I'm wrong about that. It's 12%.
Yeah, but
it's 12%,
What's his pop-up weekly? What is his pop-up weekly rate, though? Like, I don't care how you get out. You know, the only thing about a strikeout.
That's where you end.
It might even be better. Strikeouts might be better because you might maybe took 5, 6, 7, 8 pitches to strike out. Pop-up, first pitch, boop, you know, right, then the freaking shortstop catches it on the grass.
And that is why he's the flaker.
Yeah,
and that's why I think that thumb thing might be a little more important than they're making out. Or Danny, I heard you talking on Cup of Cubby Blue about, is he possibly trying to do a launch angle thing or whatever he's doing, but he is making bad contact and he's popping up weekly a lot.
Well, Bill says, did you think there would not be a price for improvement in his dir?
Crossroad demon deal.
He's a glove first third baseman now. What are you going to do? Like, he's going to bat 200.
He's exactly what they wanted. They had it in Madrigal last year, and now Morrell knows if he wants to keep his job, he just needs to suck at the plate and be good at third.
Yeah, just wait till he starts taking 5, 6 steps to throw to third. God, that ball would end up in Indiana.
I was going to say, if he takes 5 or 6 steps, there's not a glove on the planet that's going to stop that ball when it gets to first base.
I mean, freaking Michael Bush can't even catch up. He can't catch anything anyway, so what's the difference? All right, throw. Throws. Throw my hands
to the Lord. All right. Although Shota has been lights out so far this season, in the last 15 days, it's been Javier Assad who has been better. He's had 3 starts to Shota's 2 starts. Assad has pitched the most innings. He's averaging 5 1/3 innings per start, which isn't amazing, but it's the best on this team by far. And he's only given up 11 hits and 1 dong for 4 runs in those starts, which, by the way, Shota in 2 starts has 10 hits and no dongs. I don't think he's given up a home run, but they've both given up on Saturday. Okay, but they've both given up 4 runs. It's just that 2 of Shota's were unearned. So that's why Shota has a better ERA at the moment over these last 15 days. But yeah, he has a whip of 1. that's leading the starters. A one whip out of your starter who's thrown the most innings in that time frame. Javier Assad, I am so excited to watch him pitch every time. I just like the way it looks. It's fun.
Yeah, he really has been good. He got screwed in that one game that they blew against the Marlins when Alzolay got demoted from closer. Javier, I think he was up for the win in that one, and then he didn't get it. And then once again, you go toe-to-toe with Verlander. It's got to do something to your brain. It's like, I'm going to beat Verlander today. And he's always just been up for every challenge.
Yeah,
freaking awesome. All right, how about
– Well, real quick, out of the bullpen, Keegan Thompson. The most innings pitched out of the bullpen, 7 innings. He's got 10 strikeouts. He's only walked 2 batters, and he's only given up 1 single hit in his time. He's a different player right now. And his whip and his average against are the same, 0.043.
Wow.
He's good.
Good.
I don't know what happened between last year and this year, but I'm glad it happened.
Yeah, seriously, he went from like somebody that we thought we were going to maybe see at the back end of the rotation to somebody that you couldn't even pitch at all because he was so terrible, and now he's back. So good for us.
Good news. Good news.
All right, here we. How about blows now?
No.
You just put your lips together and blow.
Oh, I blew out my shoulder. I don't even want to look up these stats. We all know who the blows is. It's Kyle Hendricks.
Kyle.
The last of the 16ers, man. He's not long for this team. Last 15 days, his ERA is in the double digits, and his strikeouts are in the single digits. And that's really all you need to know. It's a tiny sample size, but that's his fault, too, because he can't make it past 4 innings. So, you know, he's got a small sample size because he doesn't last long. Then out of the bullpen, the bullpen blower is Adbert Alzolay. I almost gave it to Smiley because technically Smiley's numbers overall are actually worse than Adbert's, but Adbert's problems have been much more detrimental because of when they come and how they come.
Well, and he's given up all those home runs too. I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw this about Hendricks online from MB Vader says Hendricks to the IL ERA inflammation. And that makes me wonder, like, is it a real IL? I mean, is this a fake IL? Like, is this like, go get your head together. Your back hurts and figure it out. We don't want to cut you. Sarah Sanchez had brought up the idea that there might be some pension issues here, like getting the full pension.
That was a really good point that Sarah made. I was listening to that one. If you're not – look, all of these shows, if you're not a Patreon supporter and you don't have a specific feed for Sunranto, even if you are a Patreon supporter, you should also have the Bleacher Bunch Network. Go look for that on your podcast feed because they have we have Cup of Cubby Blue, we have Cubs PS Plus, we have Baseball Rabbit Hole and Sunranto all on the same feed, and it's completely different perspectives throughout. And Sarah had some really good points about where Kyle is sitting in his career and how that affects pension and 10-5 rights and all that stuff.
So we don't know, but either way, I think the Cubs would do him a solid and figure out how to keep him on the roster in some way to make sure that he would get those things. I don't know that he's toast. Like, you know, maybe you do pitch him out of the bullpen. Maybe you just give him this little break and see if he can't figure it out. But when you've got guys like Javier Assad, when you've got guys like Ben Brown and even Hayden Wisniewski, who's up now, and he did great out of the pen today – and you've got a manager that knows how to piece these like number 4 or 5 young guys together to get through a ball game. You'd kind of rather do that than put Kyle out there, who's not going to give your team a chance to win. You know, then I hear the sadness in my voice as I say it. You know, but you can't do it.
I feel like I'm taking my old puppy to the vet. You know, like. It's the worst.
You just kind of know that you're towards the end, and then you get to make a tough decision soon, or whatever it is, you know.
And it's like, look, if you leave a team when everybody thinks you're the best, then it's usually for a terrible reason, like you're, you know, an awful injury or something. Yeah. But like, this is just like, the pitchers get old eventually, and the arm just doesn't do the thing that it's supposed to do anymore. And like, he's been here for a long time. I
would honestly like to see them at least give him a shot in the bullpen as the long guy, right? Because I could see him doing if he does two or three innings and he only comes in when you either need, you absolutely have to have those two or three innings, like in a loss, in bad, you know, bad games or whatever, like have him come in and do his thing, knowing he's only going to go two to three innings. And that might be enough to help him sort of work back. You know what I mean? Because right now, if he gets through three and he's feeling it and he's like, oh my God, I'm going to struggle to get through four. That's got to really work on your head. Now, if you get through three and you're like, sweet, I just made it through three. I did exactly what I was asked to do. It's a different feel. And he might be able to work his way back to being more of a productive pitcher than if you just keep running him out there and let him get killed in the fourth and fifth inning.
Well, right. That's not happening either way now.
Ultimately, my hope, just for sheer, you know, feelings purposes, I just don't ever want to see him wearing somebody else's uniform.
Yeah, agreed. And the thing is,
I don't care what has to happen to make what like they need to do to make sure that happens, but he needs to play for nobody else ever.
Well, yeah. I don't think that's going to be up to him because if the Cubs let him go, he doesn't look like the kind of guy anybody else is picking up. So you're never going to have to see him in another uniform.
I don't know. Like people take flyers all the time and then they see what they can get. Maybe they have an idea of what's wrong. And
you baseball know, is really the ultimate I can fix him sport.
Exactly. It really is. Well, I got a bunch of stories to tell when we get back, okay. But why don't we take a break? But first we have to do
who's that?
Cubby!
Here we go. It is easy. A left-handed batter, and they are at Coors Field. You can tell by all the purple. So if you think you know, put it in the chat. Let us know, and we will tell you right after these messages.
Yeah, we'll just take a quick break for Patreon, patreon.com/sunranto. We are giving away a Patreon prize tonight, so come on. You can be eligible if you sign up for only $1 at patreon.com/sunranto and be heard. We'll be right back.
All over Chicagoland, there are thirsty, frazzled, overworked Cubs podcasters who are struggling to survive one more baseball season in the dog-eat-dog world of unpaid content creation. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can make a difference. Become a super ranter at patreon.com/sunranto, where your support ensures that poor, sad, pathetic, ugly, loser Cubs podcasters can pay for tickets and beer, and in turn, line the pockets of the baseball oligarch Ricketts family. Just $1 a month can buy a scorecard. $5 a month can pay for guitar strings to write a Cubs song. And $10 a month almost buys one beer at Wrigley Field. Cubs content creators are the lowest pieces of pond scum garbage that slither over the face of this planet. But super ranters help them get drunk and screw off at baseball games. What do you get out of it? The Sun Ranto Show delivered to your podcatcher without stupid advertisements like the one you're seeing and hearing right now. Plus, at other Super Ranter levels, you can get Cubs music, access to private Sun Ranto pages, the Ranter calendar, and special thanks and Ranter recognition in our live broadcasts. plus eligibility for monthly prizes. What does Sunranto get out of it? Your money. For tickets and beer. Go to patreon.com/sunranto. That's patreon.com/sunranto. And become a super ranter today. If you like the Cubs a bunch, buy your t-shirts from In the Clutch. We've got all the best styles for you. Dansby Seiya, Morel too. Clark Fly in his W. Cody Bellinger smoking dudes. Vintage shirts from days of old. Patrick Wisdom and Nico. You'll look sharp wearing your stroll. 10% off with the code S-O-N-R-A-N-T-O. S-O-N-R-A-N-T-O. InTheClutch.com is your store for the most fun baseball shirts on the planet. Don't forget to use promo code SUNRANTO to knock a couple bucks off your purchase. Stack or die, we need more cups. Get it all at In the Clutch. Cause if you like the Cubs a bunch, buy t-shirts from In the Clutch. Get it all at In the Clutch. Get it all at In the Clutch.
All right. So
who's that cubby?
Well, I have to start with the wildest guess from Bill Sugas. He went with Randall Simon. And wow, that is a name I have not heard in many, many years. But no, Rogue Wave Creative was the first with the correct answer.
Yeah, I feel like I looked at this picture and immediately felt like I got hit by a pitch.
Yep. Yeah, so Rogue Wave Creative got it correct first. Lots of people got it correct, but it's Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah.
Oh, you can tell those Rizzo.
My
elbow hurts.
Those tree trunk thighs he's got. So I want to say hashtag chance in the chat. You could win a Frank Chance postcard sent to you by me with a message of love and doom. You just saw a commercial for In the Clutch shirts, and Billy DeVore worked, who will be appearing at Rancher Fest as a comedian. He's come on the show many times, works at In the Clutch shirts, and I said, hey, I think everybody's calling Adbert Alzali saves, which we haven't seen a lot of. They're calling it the people's fist when he puts the fist in the air. I'm like, I think if we do a shirt, maybe that people would like it and they would buy it. So the day his people's fist shirt came out from In the Clutch, he got demoted from closer, but the shirt is available. The people's fist. Code Sunranto for 10% off. Hey, some of your ideas miss, and I just wanted to admit that mine, but hopefully he'll get back to being, because it's a great shirt. I love the purple. I love the red. It's one of my favorites that they've done. So,
you know what? Just get yourself a little iron on ED and add it to the end of that. The people's fisted.
I just changed beers. I'm now Athletic Brewing. This is the Lemon Rattler, non-alcoholic, NA.
You'll have to let me know if that one's any good. Oh, so Danny, if you're trying non-alcoholics, and I drink the non-alcoholics quite a bit as well. I had Deschutes Brewing.
Their
IPA is freshly squeezed IPA, right? It's a very good alcoholic beer. Well, they now have a non-alcoholic freshly squeezed IPA that I just got last night, and it's one of the better IPAs that I've had that are non-alcoholic. Well,
I don't really like IPAs. You know what I like? Pilsners. That's pretty much it.
Danny, you just need to switch to Coors Edge. Coors Edge is honestly, Coors Edge and Guinness, they're the two best non-alcoholic beers I have found flavors.
Yeah, I agree with the Guinness one. I don't know about that. I don't like Coors at all. So I do want to mention this, though, that not only are we raising money for the Lost Boys with this amazing Matt Camera poster that we're going to be selling very soon for Rancher Fest, but we're also selling.
We might have to get that as a shirt. That's a damn good looking shirt too.
We're selling this Rancher hat, and this goes straight to the Lost Boys. Any proceeds from this? We've only sold one so far. We got to change that because they won't make it unless we sell nine. So don't make me buy nine because I will. But I'm gonna drop the link for that in the chat as soon as my browser will stop freezing up and let me.
You know what? Here's an idea, Danny. Hold on. So we've been doing Project Warning Track, and we're going to bring that stuff out at the Ranter Fest, right?
Well, if people are there that did it, yeah.
Yeah, but here's a thought. Buy this rancher hat. That is the perfect spot to decorate. You could just color and do whatever you want to. Do some cool design or whatever on the rancher hat and bring that.
Use it as a thing awesome. For all of your little pins that you've bought at the ballpark since the beginning of time.
That could go on. I agree.
Everett Tosher says, I'm not allowed to own anything white. That's what I'm saying. Color that thing up. Get a marker. It'd be awesome.
Well, maybe we should make a shirt for it. Oh, look who's here.
Oh.
It's Unranto Extraordinaire. So We're gonna bring him on here real quick.
Let's call him a Sun Ranto alum.
No, well, he's a founder. He's not. He's a founder. Is a Sun Ranto.
Sun Ranto emeritus.
He's not just a customer. What is that?
the father.
I'm also a client.
Yeah.
So. All right. I think I'm peeking out here. So I have a couple quick stories to tell about stuff that happened this weekend at the games. First off, I want to say that there is a place in Wrigley Field that looks like this. Inside Wrigley Field, and as you can see, we're with Crawley inside this place, and there's it looks psychedelic. It's almost like a little club room. And if you see over my shoulder, there's like a thing on the wall that's like a puzzle that you can play. It's like a child's game. Here's a better picture of this. This is inside Wrigley Field. Crawley brought me in here.
Are those Legos?
No, they look like
Jenga blocks.
Yeah, it's not, but it's got like bubbles in it, and you can put music on. And there's all these sensory things on the wall, like tactile things that you can touch. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And it is not a sensory deprivation room, but like if you have like autism or something like that and need to like get away from the crowd, there's this place. It's right off of the third baseline, pretty much on the main concourse. It's just a little
door.
That's
amazing news.
There's a woman standing by it, and Carly's like, dude, one day I was just walking past and all of a sudden somebody opened this door and I saw this black light. He's like, why is there a black light at Wrigley Field? And so he went in there. He's like, yeah, me and Crawley just went in there for like 10 minutes and chilled out on blanket day.
I don't know if I could ever justify getting a ticket to a Cubs game just so I could drop some acid and sit in that room. But it seems like a good idea, doesn't it? 15-minute limit. God damn it. That would leave me with like 5 hours to kill, and it would suck.
I think that's perfect, though. I really like hearing this. You know, I'm a neurodivergent person, and I have some sensory sensitivities. And sometimes, you know, even I will get overwhelmed at a baseball game. And like here at T-Mobile Park, like I know there's a few different places where I can kind of hide away. You know, like there's like a little porch that nobody ever goes onto, or like the stairs in between the first and second level, I can kind of hide out in a landing and sit down and put my headphones in and like kind of get out of the overwhelm of the crowd for a little while. But there isn't a designated like sensory escape area. And the idea like that there's a place where the lights are a little bit lower and the sound is a little bit less and there's like things to touch that are safe, like that would help me a lot. And I know that, you know, I'm not the only one. There are many of us out there, and, you know, kids, adults, all ages, you know, there are people who can use an escape like that, you know, even just 15 minutes. to kind of let the nerves settle down before you go back out into the crowd. I think that's awesome. Good job.
The world has come a long way to offering these sorts of things because, I mean, it's always just been drink a few more and hopefully you'll pass out.
Well, it is pretty amazing because the only room we had like that in the 80s was the trough in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It was awkward.
Go lay in there. Don Rula says that room could be a place where closers go after blowing a save. they probably do have places like that for the players now. You know, it's a place where you could chill out, a little padded room where you can – I know don't they have things that where you can like punch
the destruction rooms where you go in with a bat and just smash things.
Yeah. But no, I think it's great. Anyway, I just wanted to let everybody know that was out there. So that's story number one. Story number two is what happened on Friday night. It was the rain out of the Jackie Robinson game, which was supposed to be on the Thursday and said it was on Saturday night. So we go over there and at that one, they sang Lift Every Voice and Sing, which is the Black National Anthem because, you know, it was for Jackie Robinson. They just moved it all to the Saturday. So we made it into the game kind of late. So we're walking down the concourse. I'm with Crawley and Larry Hawley, and we're just walking, and they started singing the song. So we stopped and, you know, took our hats off and started, you know, listening to the song, even though we were on the concourse and not in the stadium. Well, there's this old guy standing next to me, and he stops. Oh, yeah, it's the anthem. We have to stop. And he looked like one of those boomers that would hate the fact that they're singing the Black National Anthem at all at this baseball game. It was so obvious. And so that ended. The song ended, and then we just kept continuing because then they were going to do the anthem. And so we just continued. But the old man, he looked at me, and he after the Black National Anthem was over, he goes, "Well, that was a different version of the anthem, but okay." He had no idea. He thought it was the American National Anthem. He had no clue. And so, because the fact that he wasn't out there and didn't know anything about the context in which we were doing that, he was totally fucking fine with it. So just, you know. But like, I'm sure if he had been out there, he would have been pissed off. He's like,
whatever words you want to sing, as long as it kind of sounds right, I'm good with it.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. So that's my second story. And and my third story is on Monday, Cubs Productions had me, Bleacher Jeff, and a bunch of the other Bleacher bums out to Nisei Lounge to ask us a bunch of questions. And we'll probably end up on like Cubs Con videos or on the scoreboard and shit like that. But they wanted to know about like the fans' connection to players. So we're thinking, you know, they're going to ask us about, you know, well, the players, and, you know, the players that we love on the team, you know, like Nico and Dansby, and they did. But the first player they asked us about was like, give me three words, describe Jameson Taillon. I was like,
must I?
Pretty good. Well, that's two words. Okay. Solid. Like, we were just kind of drafting me and this guy, Brad.
He seems like a very nice young man.
Seems like a good guy. Just kind of solid. So if you ever watch a Cubs video and you see me bullshitting about Jameson Taillon, just know that, you know, I was as comfortable as you feel watching it.
You blew a great opportunity. You could have just said Cotton loves him.
Yeah, exactly.
And they would have not understood a damn thing about it. Yeah. What does that mean? End up on...
So anyway, there's going to be some awkward video of me coming out soon. Me and Bleacher Jeff talking.
Oh, I love we're starting to get three words. Better than before.
Yeah. Give me three words to describe James.
And also, really thick calves.
Yep. So we got to skip forward because, of course, on the Sun Ranter show, we're running long. Lyle doesn't.
It's never happened before.
Well, not familiar with how we go long on the show, and neither is his wife.
Yeah, she's not a fan of that.
But those of you that don't know Lyle.
How dare you not know me? You guys don't talk about me every episode.
Well, there's the shrine.
All right.
We do pray to the shrine.
Yes.
Every episode. But Lyle and I started this show in 2013, and there that episode still exists somewhere. We're just me and him bullshitting about the Cubs. Lyle,
I think you should release it again.
Lyle did not too long ago. In my favorite part of the episode, Danny is so positive in it, is at the end, you guys are talking, and you know, and Lyle, you're kind of like, yeah, we'll maybe do this like next week or whatever. And Danny's like, I already think we're a success.
And obviously I was right. Yeah.
11 years later. Here you are.
No, it's 12, 13.
The four of us and our three listeners.
It was just so fucking funny how excited he was over that first episode.
We were excited. We had a lot of fun.
I just saw IFG's face fall off when Bill Sugis has put a Facebook message saying, I fucking hate Tommy La Stella forever.
I fucking hate Tommy La Stella forever too, Bill. I miss you, buddy. How you doing?
So, IFG, obviously a fan of Tommy La Stella. It's just like, what happened on this show before I was on?
I hate him. She laughed. She quit. She just quit.
That was the end of the show. Well, here's...
Oh, no.
See? And technically, IFG replaced Crawley, who replaced you. So now we've come full circle on La Stella. We went from hating him to loving him.
That's wild.
Yeah, we got to hang up the show. At least it's a Mariners.
I know.
Yeah, see? I was the one person who was happy that he signed with the Mariners for about 10 minutes. So, of course... You know, I had to be the only person to buy the game-worn jersey, too.
I was going to say, when he was on the Mariners, I remember him being on the Angels hitting a bunch of home runs. But no, the story with Tommy La Stella is when he went and go to AAA, right? That was what happened.
He threw a hissy fit. But just like, I lost
it. Straight up, he's like, no, thank you. I'm not going. I'm going to go home. I'm heading off to New Jersey. See y'all later.
My friend Tony in the bleachers has a theory that Tommy went to save his family's pizza restaurant. he goes, I forgave him because of that. It's like he went to save La Stella's pizza.
I would respect that as a man of restaurants. I think that's a righteous thing for him to do. Fuck baseball. Save pizza.
except for we know that's a complete lie.
Right.
But
he went back to his
temper tantrum.
He went back to his family's pizza restaurant because he thought that was his new career. He was done with baseball.
It almost was, and then he hit 40 dogs for the Angels, and then
on steroids,
and then his leg broke in half, and then he went to the Mariners, and IFG bought a jersey. The end.
The weird thing is, she bought the jersey directly from Tommy La Stella out on the corner.
She ordered pizza online, got the pizza, and for an extra $5,
extra
you could get
extra cheese.
Exactly.
Extra cheese and a jersey.
So, we're in Maine right now. We're at Sebago Lake, Maine, and how far are we from Boston?
2.5 hours.
So the Cubs are playing at Fenway tomorrow, and for the next 3 days, we're going Sunday. And
tomorrow's the game.
Well, I don't even know who's pitching. I haven't even had time. I've been traveling to even look, but I did look up the Red Sox as far as how they've been doing, and they're 14-11. They're in third place. But they can't. They play like shit at home. 3-7.
Terrible at home. Playing pretty good on the road. Coming off 4-2 on the road. Hoping to turn things around against. We're both pretty injured going into the series, so I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, we're really the injured, difference, but we've been winning.
Yeah, we have a little bit of Cubs devil magic happening right now, Lyle. Everybody keeps dying, and yet the Cubs keep winning. Like
it's like Highlander. If we keep killing off everybody, then Christopher Morel will win the MVP.
Everybody just keeps getting stronger. Cool. Exactly. They keep calling up guys from the minors who just seem to fit in and do well. And that's what I'm saying.
Though. That's what you always want to happen. You love
we might have some Cubs devil magic.
I mean, so you basically you're saying you're the Cardinals now. Because that was
God
the
damn Cardinals. It. That's ever, not what I'm ever, saying. I'm,
I, well, every week you'd be like, oh, look, the Cardinals brought up this guy. He doesn't look good. Some fat white dude he's going to pitch. You're like, oh, wow, he's got a 0.23 ERA.
Exactly. He hasn't allowed a run since April 3rd.
Right. Then they brought up this other guy, and he's going to play first base, and he's never played first base before. And, oh, he's going to win the Gold Glove this year and hit 420? Great. Awesome.
420. Cool. yeah, the Red Sox, I mean, are they expected to do anything this year? Or are they, I mean, like tomorrow's matchup, they got Imanaga for us, and he's been our ace this year. What a steal from Japan. And then
Cutter Crawford, dude.
Yeah. And
0.66 ERA leading Major League Baseball in his first five starts. This is going to be a hell of a pitching matchup.
This is, where are we watching?
We're going to watch, right here, probably.
Yeah. We're watching it right here.
After you finish helping me hang up the trim in this room and fix the doors and finish remodeling this room here.
After I electrocute myself trying to help Lyle with his house.
Exactly.
Danny goes up to see Lyle on his 50th birthday, and Lyle's like, Lyle's like, my gift is that you're going to do all the shit that I haven't done here in a little while.
Yeah. So there's shit to be done.
So, yeah. So, yeah, it's not starting that great for the Red Sox yet, but you did sweep Pittsburgh on the road.
Which was helpful to you guys. You're welcome. And now we'll sweep you just to say thank you again to me.
Well, I mean, happy birthday.
We sweep you. Are they still, you know, like, don't they have another, like, 100-year-long curse for trading away Mookie Betts?
I believe they do. I've truly, like, as the Cubs kind of gave away their foundation and started the rebuild, and the Red Sox just let it fall apart and got rid of Mookie, my love for baseball just changed. I got really kind of turned off, and especially by the Red Sox. And it's been hard to watch. I like the team. There's some good players on the team. There's some good bats on the team. This pitching staff's really just pitching out of nowhere. So it's enjoyable, but I have to say, I'm still not recovered from Mookie Betts, and yeah, I'm not sure I ever will.
You're not that bad. You are second in homers right now. You've hit the second most homers.
That's all we do.
You have the best team ERA. So when you do those two things, you'd think you'd be better than 3-7 at home, but 14-11 on the overall. So that's not too bad. You're hanging around. Are you going to be able to beat the Yankees? Or the Orioles? Everybody's picking the Orioles right now.
I think the Orioles are the team to beat. I think the Yankees will fall
apart.
They're
pretty fun.
Yeah, they are. I like that team.
They do have Aaron Judge. He's pretty good.
And they put him in center field. Like, what a disaster. Why do you put that big lug out in center field so he gets hurt? I don't understand why they did it, but whatever.
Well, they did the math. Because it's not about what you can actually see. It's all about the math. And they were like, he's 7 feet tall, which means he gets an extra, you know, 8 inches every step. So he should be able to cover center field better than a 6'3" guy. We're going to put him out there.
7-footers, they blow out ACLs and MCLs when they make lateral moves and are running side to side and backwards. So I just think it's a terrible idea. Like, leave that guy in right field.
I'm just picturing, like, I'm just picturing center field being taken up by, like, a Nick Madrigal on a Nick Madrigal's shoulders.
or on Andre the Giant's shoulders, maybe, even.
Right. It's like the kids tried to sneak into the movie. Yeah. In like, in the long trench coat.
Like a trench coat jersey.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that would never work this year because you'd see the two people clearly through the jersey.
Right through the trousers. Yep.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You can't get away with it with Fanatics' new pornographic jerseys.
They're pretty wild.
The one thing that the Red Sox are bad at, though, is defense. 21 errors leading the majors so far.
And we're embarrassing.
But you do have a higher softball team. You have a higher DER than us. Your defensive DER. Our DER is 700, but yours is 704. So it's not going that bad. But your catchers have only thrown out 6% of runners.
I know.
So the Cubs have the second fewest stolen bases in the majors, which is kind of wild considering that Nico Hoerner, like, stole, what, like 20-something bases last year, 30 bases?
something like that. Well,
but until this last week, Nico Horner hasn't been getting on base.
He hasn't on base to even steal. So, but this year we're not stealing, but maybe they start now because I saw that the Red Sox, they don't throw anybody out, and the Mets don't throw anybody out either. So maybe now is a time to run. So if they're counting us out on the running game, take, I don't know, is there stolen base betting you can do?
Yeah, I think you can bet total bases. Let's take total bases. Oh,
take total bases.
Yeah, you can take that bet. You can bet total bases. But also, Danny, you have said this for many years. Bad teams steal a lot of bases because they have to.
Well,
I don't believe that anymore.
I think you should probably attempt to steal bases when the catchers in question are Reese McGuire and Connor Wong.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, Michael and Danny, Ricky said, Ricky, don't play on bad teams.
Well, yeah, and well, the bases are bigger now. I think
Ricky's
the game
a different person than everyone else.
That's fair.
When, yeah, you can't compare people to Ricky Henderson. But the bases are bigger. You can't throw over as much. So it's just advantage runner. So I don't think I believe that anymore that only bad teams steal bases. I think that that is how it used to be when it was all about home run, strikeout, selling out every pitch, that the only way bad teams without home run hitters could score runs was by stealing bases. And now stolen bases are back. They're back.
They're back.
They absolutely are. And you know what? Here in just a few minutes, give you a chance to think about it a little bit, Lyle. If you want to tell us what you think of all the new rules, I would love to hear what you have to say.
Why don't you give me a list and I'll give you my response. Do you want to go that way?
Oh my God.
Ask me about which rules you want to question.
Pitch well, clock. Now I need a few minutes to fucking find all the 1,200 rules.
I absolutely love the pitch clock. I do not believe it has anything to do with pitching injuries. If you want to talk about that, we can. But I think it's great. I think it sped up the game. Two or three Sundays ago, the Red Sox played a game. 9 innings. The starting pitcher pitched a complete game. The game was over in 1 hour and 54 minutes. It was shorter than the NBA
amazing
game.
Amazing. I love NHL it when game. Baseball's not on.
Okay, hold on, Lyle.
It was awesome. I got to watch a second game.
Okay, but wait, Lyle, real quick. The pitch clock, look, I can't argue too much against it, but then they shortened it for this season. Right. They went from the pitch clock came in and then they shortened it for seemingly no reason.
It's the same, though.
What do you think about that, though? Did you think it needed to be shortened?
I want it to be three seconds. I want them to just grab the ball.
As soon as they get it, they got 3 seconds.
No,
to throw it again.
I don't think it made that much difference. Are the games quicker this year?
Yeah.
Has there been any reports
on that
yet? I haven't seen anything.
But let's how about extra innings? Manfred man, runner on second.
I don't like that. That's just a stupid rule. I think there's better ways to do it. I'd rather have ties in baseball.
Yeah. All right. We agree. How about
tie after 12?
Cut it after 12. I'm all about that.
If you can't win in 12 innings, nobody won.
Yeah.
Bigger bases.
I think it's okay. It's kind of silly looking, but I think it's okay. I think if it helps, and I think if there's less injuries, and that's the thought behind it, and less collisions, I'm okay with it.
Three batter minimum.
I was just going to ask you. The follow up was, what do you think it looks like? Because those bases, for a person who's been to a lot of games, they look weird, don't they?
They look weird. I'm uncomfortable with it. Just in a, I'm like, what's wrong with the field? I'm like, all right.
Yeah, you're
second base is awfully close to me.
It's like the uniforms. You're like, is Robbie Baez wearing a thong? Like, what is happening over there? Like, it's just, you just don't know what's happening.
It'd be good for the game. Yeah. Javi had a thong.
It would.
Javi's wearing multiple thongs. He's trying anything to get better.
You asked me about another rule.
Three batter minimum.
I think it's innovative. I think it's fun. I'm pro it because I feel like I don't know that I love it in the playoffs, in the postseason, but I like it for regular season baseball.
The pitching changes took forever in the regular season.
Yeah, and there was just so many of them, and it's silly. I think if a guy's going to cut, but man.
What other rule change? That's pretty much it, right?
No, no. The biggest rule change, you just brought it up. What do you think about what I call the postseason tournament? There's no longer playoffs. Yeah. Playoffs have gone away. We now have a postseason tournament, and all the kids get to play in it.
How about we go back to the best record in each league, just plays each other in the World Series? Do you want that? When was it MAGA for you, Michael, or BAGA, or Make Baseball?
No, I honestly, I personally loved the play-in game. I thought that was great. I thought that was the peak of it. I thought that was really good. A play-in game to get into the playoffs was the best. But
it is
sort of what you were talking about, Lyle.
62 games, and now you have to play one extra to see if you're worthy. Like, I don't like. Look, I get it. I think it's fun. I agree, but it's also
it's fun. That's the only thing. It's fun. And if you don't want to play in that game, just be a little bit better.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Right. And it gives
an actual incentive to build a team that can win games.
Yeah, because you just get in and you get to have that 3-game series, and it's kind of just another series and blah, blah, blah. And it's,
listen,
I don't
that's
know.
Why people love March Madness so much. That single elimination, anybody could win a game at any time. Crazy upsets, and that's what makes it fun. You're just like, shit, well, here we go, one game. That's why the NFL is so popular, I think, and especially when you get to the playoffs, people are like, oh, my God, anybody can win this game. And, you know, one injury or one bad game or one bad mistake, you know, you're out.
Yeah. The answer to your question was, I think that was peak. And at this point, if they're going to do this fucking, you know, everybody gets in tournament bullshit, I honestly think they do need to go to some sort of a trophy for a regular season champion. The American League and the National League need to have whoever has the best record gets
like the
a
NHL
trophy.
Does. The NHL has all the trophies. They're like, oh, you won the President's Trophy this year. You had the best record in the league.
Yeah, they need to have something like that because
some kind of incentive.
Because the tournament has now devalued the regular season so much that now everybody's just trying to be that middle team. We're trying to have a 503 winning percentage because that's all we need to get in.
I don't know that that's necessarily true, but I think the reason you feel this way a little bit is because the Dodgers keep choking and everybody keeps thinking that they should be in the World Series or they should be winning the World Series over the last few years. And they just are absolute choke artists. So then these secondary third teams, the last team in, keeps making it. But I think it's because there's a couple really good teams that keep choking.
Well, I'm also pissed that the Cubs don't seem to really want to go for the division. They're just like, let's try and get second.
I just want them there. Number two.
Oh no! I was just saying, like when 50% of the teams get in, one way or another, like there really isn't much of an incentive to try to be better than 50% is good, right? And if you consider like what it actually costs to go on a long playoff run, now that it's what four different series you have to play in, unless you're you get the bye.
The top seed.
So you're either investing money to get the bye or you're investing what it costs to go through all of those playoff runs, all of the different merchandise you have to, you know, buy and set up and all that stuff. Like, where is the incentive for the teams to try to make that rather than just not?
Also, there's shitty teams playing in the playoffs.
Well, right? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess you could say the Diamondbacks were a shitty team and they made it all the way to the World Series, because baseball's also, like, even a bad team can have a good week and end up getting pretty far, like, and it's tough.
Well, and then end up losing to a team that was built better with more money.
So Lyle will be very familiar with this. In 2007, the Colorado Rockies were a shit team that went on a historic run at the end of the year and ended up making it all the way to the World Series against your Boston Red Sox, at which point they got their asses handed to them. Rockies did.
That's old
but,
format.
You know, but right. No, but the whole reason that they got rid of just the wild card team getting in and moving to that wild card game was that scenario. Like, you kept getting teams like the Marlins and the fucking Rockies making it to the World Series, and baseball decided we shouldn't have this. They went to the wild card game, and it fixed the situation for many years, and then they're like, let's just have a tournament now.
Yeah, by the way, Michael just asked you about the new rules so that he could talk about the new rules. And by the way, these are old rules and they've been around for 2 years, but Michael brings it up every show. Just
no, but I bring no, I don't bring it up Michael, every show.
Michael needs to rant.
Yeah,
he's like, no, Lyle and I have not had a chance to fucking talk about this, and Lyle and I would go back and forth on this all the time. And honestly, you really want me to fucking blow this place up? What do you think about the universal DH? Because it's a fucking abomination.
Exactly. Yeah,
I still remain exceptionally glad that I never have to see Blake Snell crying at the plate ever again.
I love seeing Blake Snell cry.
Yeah, well, last night we saw there's a couple of things we got to talk about that actually happened with the Cubs, and you got to chime in because Luke Little was crying after the game yesterday because he had. I mean, IFT, why don't you take it from here? You say what happened. We got a couple of pictures.
I brought receipts on this. This is the funniest thing.
I see you did.
So Luke Little has been carrying around this glove with an American flag emblazoned on the pointer finger of the glove. Apparently,
this finger?
No, just the pointer finger. But if you look at him with it, like, he definitely wants it to look like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So here's the picture.
Luke Little, fuck America.
Yep. Luke Little hates America. That's why he's putting it on there. America. Fuck America is what he's thinking.
Yeah. Put it on my glove and show everybody.
So, an umpire decided that, you know, that is not an acceptable thing to have and told him he had to change his glove. Another glove was brought out that also had an American flag on it. So they had to bring out another glove that wasn't even broken in because clearly he never thought that violating the glove rule would affect him in any way.
They said the reason for it too was the amount of white in the flag was confusing to the hitter. And I, that's insane to me, but I understand it's a rule. I know that's why they put black in the outfield. They don't let you wear white long sleeves when you pitch, but there is not enough white in that fucking finger to confuse any batter.
I love when people who can't argue have to make an argument, and then they're like, it's too much white. Right. And everybody looks at him like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So, just to clarify everything, here's the rule. The pitcher's glove may not, exclusive of piping, be white, gray, nor in the judgment of an umpire, distracting in any manner. No fielder, regardless of position, may use a fielding glove that falls within this Pantone color set. No pitcher shall attach to his glove any foreign material of a color different from the glove.
Isn't Pantone a pitcher in the minor leagues for the Cubs right now?
It is, actually.
And you cannot staple him to your glove.
You cannot. As long as he is white or gray.
You can't pitch it all. His name's Pantone.
Or any color different than the gloves. So this is what's interesting. I went on a dive. I was like, you know, I know that the custom glove market is pretty big. I follow a lot of like custom glove manufacturers on the socials because they're pretty and I like to look at them. So, and I'm like, putting your country's flag on a glove is a really big thing for a lot of guys in like, you know, indie ball and stuff like that. So I went looking around to see if there are any other MLB players who have, you know, their country's flag on the glove. And I found a couple of examples. Yoshinobu Yamamoto had a Japanese flag on his glove during the Seoul series. During the Seoul series, which I wasn't exhibition, I don't know. He wore this for the Seoul series. But you'll notice if you look at him now here playing here in America, no flag.
Covered up. Oh yeah.
It is not there.
He disrespected his entire country and colored it in with a blue marker.
Yeah, exactly.
So either somebody told him, hey, by the way, you know, you can't have that. That's not allowed. Or for some reason he did that, you know, at the beginning of the Seoul game. I don't know. I didn't watch it. But going back even further, back in, gosh, what was it? I don't know. A long time ago, Koji Urihara wore this glove for 2 months before he was told that it was banned. It was taken away. He could not wear it. You know, he wore this thing for ages, and they said, actually, it does violate the rules that the we're in the collective bargaining agreement. Only one other person that I could find has worn a country's flag on their glove, and that's this guy here. His name is PJ Canlan. He is the first MLB player from Ireland. He wore this in his debut. He only played in 3 games for the Mets in, like, 2018. And so he probably just wasn't around long enough for anybody to take his glove away. You know, pretty cool to see.
Bit of trivia. He's out of the league because he choked on a potato.
That dude, remember, Eddie.
That's actually pretty cool. I like that
they called it the Great New York Potato Famine.
Overlook that maybe a little bit, right? The first player from his country to pitch in the MLB. I think that's pretty cool. I'm not offended by any of it. I think the middle finger kind of like where the placement was, if it was on the side of the glove, it wouldn't be a big deal. But I don't know. I just think
it is very plainly in the eyesight of the hitter.
Well, right?
It is a different color from the glove itself. It, you know, I just, as a little bit of a rules lawyer, it does not follow the rules.
The first guy to strike out, Michael, said he didn't know if he was supposed to swing or take his hat off and say the Pledge of Allegiance. So it was just confusing to him because he didn't want to get in trouble, you know, or he didn't know if he had to take a knee. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah, he was upset because he was standing there saluting and he just threw a ball right past him.
Interesting that in this position, actually, the flag is upside down.
Yeah.
If you're hanging like the American flag vertically, the canton should be in chief. That should be the top.
At least he's got the stars on the left side, which not even the American military does anymore, and that's actually in direct contradiction to the flag code, which I had to learn.
They got flag everything, flag underwear.
But these are fucking soldiers. Anyway,
I've been trying to say something for like 20 minutes.
So anyway, Michael,
I want to point out that Luke Little, I'm not trying to totally bash the guy for doing this or anything that he's going to do, because look at the blue.
Sunranto.
No, that's not a Sunranto.
That'd be an awesome Sunranto.
No, can you see what it says?
Can somebody Photoshop that Riker? For Danny and just have it say Sunranto?
Riker. Team Riker. So that's our Club 400 kid.
Oh, that is
undiagnosed.
The
I'm wearing one too. He gave me one of these. Really cool. A lot of us are on Team Riker, and I know Luke Little is a big part of that, and his mom Billy too. And also Dansby Swanson's got one, and mine broke. And Riker's dad Eddie sent me like four more of them. And I do want to bring up that these came in the mail. Sunranto yes. Show swag. And so these are the red and blue ones.
I mean, Dan, you have four of those.
Happy
Lyle. I think you should auction one of those off and, you know, donate the money.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
400.
Oh, okay. So
we are donating the money to Lost Boys, though, but they work with we're giving the money away.
In actual reference to the flags, though, I will say I'm glad that IFG did the research and looked, because they're trying to make this a anti-American, anti-patriotic bullshit, but it's not. It's any flag, and it happens to have been enforced on other flags, and now it's being enforced on our flag, and this is what happens. Some people get upset when it happens to our flag, but they're more than happy to do it to their flag. We remember our guy Wilson had a sleeve that had the Venezuelan flag. There was nothing wrong with it except for it was a flag. And that's why they didn't want it on there. And in my mind, it doesn't matter if it's the American flag, the Chinese flag, the Venezuelan flag, nothing matters. If the rule's against flags, then don't be a flag. Just fucking
George,
take it off.
George Carlin said, flags are symbols, and I leave symbols to the symbol-minded.
Exactly.
I'm gonna let the dog out.
Yeah,
the dog's going very, down. Very nice.
Yeah, I like that. Luke Little, but he is the one that's making it that way. Luke Little goes out there on his Twitter, and I love Luke Little. Like, this is the problem. It's like, Luke, bro. He says, proud to be an American, flag, Hulk Hogan, go Cubs, go.
And, of course, he uses the guy that got in trouble for being a super racist on camera in a sex tape, I think. Yeah, so yeah, maybe not the way to go.
And then somebody said, but did you see what, because this is a TFC, too. It's like underneath, why the fuck are you making this political, you fucking idiots? It's like, yeah, it didn't have to be. It's not. This is not anti-American. I mean, the umpires are not communists. Like, why? You know what I mean? Like,
literally could not be further from the truth. Like, here we are with me, IFG, siding with an umpire.
Umpires, I know.
So, like, if you had to pick one group in this country that I would assume is fake patriotic, it's the umpires. They're just, that's who they are. They're all 800 years old. They've been indoctrinated for the last 80 years. Like, yeah, those guys are not fucking anti-American or anti-flag or whatever the hell they are.
So that was just a bit of an embarrassment to be a Cub fan this week. I think just that all went down last night. And, everybody started acting the fool. And did you have any more examples of – I don't know if you went through all the glove pictures that you had gathered.
No. It's literally – it has just been like the Koji Urihara thing, which, again, you know, gorgeous flag.
Oh, that's Koji.
And this is even this is even on the side. Like, this is on the thumb where, like, you really wouldn't see it. But – He got to wear it for a couple of months, and then they were like, you know what? This really doesn't follow the rules, and we're going to go ahead and take that away from you.
It's all fun and games when it's a different flag.
IFG, can I ask a question? Did he really cry? Did he really cry?
Blake Snell?
Luke Little?
Yeah.
Luke
did Little? He truly, like,
really? I mean, he threw an internet hissy fit. I cannot tell you whether or not he cried.
I just wanted to clarify, like, if he was on TV crying, because I wanted to see that video.
As far as I know, it was just an internet hissy fit.
Well, what a dick move to be like, let's go get another glove, and the other glove comes out with the fucking flag on it. It's like, who went to go get the...
That's actually funny to me.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's like when they take off the sunglasses and then there's another pair of sunglasses.
No, like, but I did unfortunately read the Fox News article that came out about this.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And you know, they're quoting Luke and they're being like, and then I had to break in a glove. I've never even used it before. And it's like, mm-hmm. Well, then, I don't know, follow the rules. I don't know what you want me to say. Like,
right. Well, and
the rules are right there. You can read them.
And it did come out that he was well aware of the rules because the clubbies were like, dude, you're not supposed to do that.
And like, didn't they receive emails about it and stuff? I mean,
also,
anyway, it's not like it's a new rule.
The flag code, like, you're not supposed to be wearing the flag in any way, right?
Very true.
Yeah, I don't think,
right?
So that's don't.
Well, unless it's in an official capacity.
Right.
Or you're wearing a bikini in a Budweiser advertisement.
that's fine, too.
Very politically. Right.
As long as you're holding a gun.
Actually, watch Sunday Night Baseball because you'll see Danny and I in the bleachers in our Budweiser bikinis.
Yeah, exactly.
The really weird part is every time Luke Little's hand touches the ground, they have to go out and burn the flag, and like a bunch of Boy Scouts come out and they fucking make a fire with a stick and a string. It's actually
one gun salute. We lose half the population of the right field bleachers.
He's dragging that flag through the dirt.
Yeah,
well, that's why they burn it every half inning.
No, Alexander Miller asked if Luke can wear that little wristband either, and I don't think he can because it does have white on it and it is on the pitcher's hands.
That was a picture. Also,
yeah, I think that was just a picture. I haven't seen him wear that on the mound or anything.
Yeah.
I do remember like a few years ago they had Players Weekend where they did like the black and white uniforms, the half black, half white uniforms. And the players that were wearing the white uniform were either wearing a black hat or just wearing their regular team hat. I don't quite remember which. But like the pitcher did not wear the white hat because it was deemed that would be distracting or could be confused with the ball.
So they wore the regular team hat. They wore like a regular Cubs hat.
Yeah, the whole rest of the pitcher's body made no difference, but his
Eddie Butler
uniform can be white. Like, we have tons of white uniforms in baseball, but your hands or your head should not be, you know, should not have white on them lest they be, you know, because those are like the moving parts that aren't your body. Anyway. Yeah.
So kids, dye that Vaseline black before you put it on that ball.
Well, we got the Red Sox. They're playing the Cubs, and tomorrow's the marquee Cutter Crawford versus Imanaga. Who we got on Saturday? That's the afternoon game, and we're still TBD versus Winkowski, who's got like pretty bad like Mr. Hanky mustache on his face. I'm kind of hoping Wesneski takes the start, so it's Wesneski versus Winkowski, the battle of the poles.
The battle of the poles.
Not since the Warsaw Uprising have we seen. No, sorry.
It's never been so polemic.
Polemic stuff. Oh, Boog will be insufferable if Wesneski starts that. But he pitched today, though, Wesneski out of the pen. So I don't think we're going to get a Wesneski.
Also, there's nary a person in Boston who's going to give a shit about that game on Saturday because the Bruins are an NHL team and the Celtics are an NBA team. I don't know if the rest of Chicago knows that the playoffs are happening in both those leagues right now since neither of your teams are in it. But
I was just saying, we are not aware.
Yeah, no. So baseball is definitely number three in Boston right now.
And then Wicks is going up against Hauk. Who's Hauk? Tanner Hauk? Is that his name? Hauk. Yeah.
Hauk?
Does he throw his sidearms?
He's got a little weird, like, come across you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are your matchups. We'll be at that game. That'd be fun. We're going to try to get good tickets. If anybody out there right now is a single and wants to go, we're only three, but if we can get better tickets for cheaper if we get four. Like, it might be one of those situations where we just buy four. It'll be just the same price as three. Got a thing, you know?
Right.
So,
Danny, how many days have you been sober?
Well, I mean, I had some Malort at Cubs convention, so.
So that was in
January, but I've been sober for over a year, besides the Malort, of course, but that doesn't count.
Until Sunday.
Right, Malort.
when I tie Danny down and force whiskey.
We heard that Ben Brown will start on Saturday. So
I hope so.
Yeah.
I want to introduce you. This is Alexander Guinness Humphrey Bogarts.
Well, Danny just blocked the screen. I can't see it.
What? Don't block the screen. You got to meet.
It's back.
Humphrey.
Alexander Bogarts. This is Alexander Guinness Humphrey Bogarts.
He's adorable.
That's a good looking cat.
Oh, he knows he's on the show.
Yeah. I can actually translate.
Alexander Bogarts.
I can translate cat, and he just said "fuck the DH." It was very cute.
I'm going to
Xander Bogarts.
I'm going to share a link in the chat right now, and that is to Chris Salato's Facebook birthday donation for Lost Boys, because that's what he's using his birthday for. Chris has the same birthday as Lyle, April 27th.
Yeah, he is.
They share a birthday.
So also all the donations you wanted to give me to the beer fund for this weekend, just give it to Chris and the Lost Boys. Let's let Dan buy my beers.
So donate to his situation, because we're almost at 1,000. We're almost at $1,000. Chris wrote me. He's like, how do we get this thing over 1,000? I'm like, share it until it is. And that really was my only answer, because I already put a bunch of money in, and that's all I had. So, help get it over. I think we only had like $100 to go. So let's say 20 people put $5. We're right there. And then,
or 100 people put in $1.
Yeah, exactly.
Or one badass motherfucker just whip out the wallet and let's do it.
So, what else do we got? Oh yeah. Cup Stradamus, he texted me. He says that he had to go robe shopping. Apparently he soiled his old one. But he did send me a poem. He said, New York's as bad as it gets with their losers, the Nets and the Jets. Though they don't play in Jersey, nobody's worse than the Queens baseball franchise, the Mets. Did he really say worse?
Worse.
He's getting worse at writing poetry.
Are we going to see him Sunday? Is he meeting us at the game?
Yeah, he's supposed to meet us.
God, you better hope not. Hard.
That's our third. It smells so bad.
Yeah. Maybe we should get a
fourth seat. We'll be in New York City, so it'll just smell normal. Because that place is a goddamn toilet. You know why? Because Yankee Stadium's there. That dump.
It's true. And then we also have Ranter Fest coming May 31st to June 2nd. We have a lot of fun. So just check out all the schedule at sunranto.com/ranterfest. Get your tickets, because people are already buying tickets and RSVPing. I can only fit 100 people total back there, and once it's sold out, there's nothing I can do.
If you guys sell out, I'll jump on a plane, put on my Budweiser bikini. America bikini. I'll be there.
America!
Fuck yeah!
I mean, Danny, how about changing the date to the 23rd?
Well, because it's too late.
I know. Isn't that when they're doing Ryan Sandberg Day and putting the statue up?
Well, the reason we're doing it this day is because it's a Saturday night game, and Billy DeVore, our Reds dude, is coming and doing comedy. And the flight was really cheap for Allison to come from all the way from Seattle.
That's pretty.
Yeah,
that's a good flight.
So. I also want to mention Nana at Trapdoor Theater. It's playing. If you want to get away from baseball for a night and see a show at Trapdoor Theater, come on down at 1655 Cortland in the fine city of Chicago and see Nana Thursday through Friday, Saturdays. I wrote all the music. My wife directed the play. And then we have a bunch of stuff to get through, actually. You did the Cubsler, but you know what I'm going to do first before, because I'm using the same app. I'm giving away the Patreon prize of the month. This is for the Ron Santo map, Matt Kammerer map. This is for an In the Clutch t-shirt.
Hey, Matt Kammer. How you doing, buddy?
I'm going to be, by the way, writing an email to the In the Clutch people. All the past winners, I believe. David Elliott's one of them. We've got a couple of winners. And we're going to pick up another one right now. This is the Patreon prize of the month. Thank you to anybody that supports on us on Patreon, patreon.com/sunrazo. If you want to get into it next
month, I won.
We're spinning it. Round and round she goes. Where she stops, only the wheel of names knows. And the winner is Joseph Dykehouse. I don't think I've met Joseph. Congratulations, Joseph. And is that your real name? And if it is, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Wait, what do you think Joseph Dykehouse bought? Oh, what? Or was that? I thought that was the Amazon.
That's Patreon. No, that's it. No,
that Patreon. Was the Patreon one. Patreon. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I was like, I'm really interested in his purchase.
So then we also have the Cubsler winner. So why don't you give us the Cubsler clue from last week?
Michael's Forever 12.
Do you have the Cubsler?
Okay. Yeah, I've got it. So last week we had his nephew is a distinct odor. Little E, not big Z, hit 263. Last game was played in 94. American Association MVP in 93. And that was Eduardo Zambrano. So, and we had six? I think
Is there Jerry six Pat, names? Chris Salato, Artie Boucher, Scott Sowers, and Donald Rulis, and Jeff Bjorn all got that
and
right
I feel
answer.
Like that was one of the easier Cubslers, so I got a harder one this week.
And the winner is, man, he's won twice already, I believe, Scott Sowers.
Yeah, this is his third. This is his third time. Because here's the thing. Either people are exactly. This is all easily searched. Sorry, I make
Scott,
it
you're probably really smart.
I make it so that you got to go and look it up, but you don't have to actually know a bunch. Just look things up. And at this point, we keep getting the same people over and over and over who keep answering correctly. So, you know, I ask you if you have any inkling, just read the question and search the clues. I think you'll figure it out. Like I make
please,
it.
Please participate in my contest. Please.
No, it's not even that. It's just that everybody keeps, it's the same people over and over that answer the question every single time. I want some new people in there.
If you can get 15 new people in there, Michael will stop complaining about the new rules for 3 days.
Never happen. No more. It'll never happen.
You won't talk about, you won't say the DH one time for a whole year.
Yeah. Okay. So
do you mutter DH in your sleep?
DH. Fuck the DH. Emily's like, Michael, wake up. It's a bad dream. You're dreaming about the DH in the National League again.
Yeah. Every morning I wake up and I'm like, Emily, man, there's bags under your eyes. You look like you didn't sleep all night. And she's just like, yeah, you were dreaming about the DH all fucking night. So
is Schwarber the greatest National League DH ever?
He's not a DH. He's a left fielder. They don't use him as the DH.
Once in a while.
Once in a while, but they do that for everybody because the DH is not a real position. It's a half of an off day. Okay, here we go.
So
I felt like the last one.
We haven't even gotten through this? Oh, my God.
No, I felt like the last one was too easy. So I went harder.
Okay.
Clues, but I went harder. On a contact play, he'd be waiting. It's no big deal to get a guy in a pickle, a battery backup to Wilson in 15. I can read, but I can't count. 17. So on a contact play, he'd be waiting. It's no big deal to get a guy in a pickle, a battery backup to Wilson in 17.
All right.
And I will put that out on Twitter and on the Discord so you can read it.
Cool. I think he's talking about a left fielder, everybody.
Send your answers to sunranto@gmail.com or the Sun Ranto Show Twitter. And you could be a winner, I guess, and then an ultimate winner. And also, Michael will be real proud of you.
I will. You know,
that's what we what all
I find
for.
Funny is what I find funny is people think I'm so smart with these, but they're so much easier when you start with the answer and then you make the question, because these people are reading the question and have no clue.
So, IFG put the answer. I agree that that's who it is too. You said it was hard. I was going to blurt it out, but I didn't want to ruin the Cubs lure.
Oh, really?
He's got one of the best baseball names of all time. Yeah.
That's what absolutely. That's what I thought too. And IFG on it. Just nailed it in a heartbeat.
Well, I'm terrible at this game, so y'all should be able to get it too.
It would stand to reason that the one you could get really well is the one that nobody else could get. That's what stands to reason.
You're in. You're in on the win for next week. IFG is the first correct answer, so she'll be in the list of names.
And she did it without – you didn't even Google, did you? Did you Google? Did you look anything up?
I double-checked, but I had the answer before I looked.
Cool.
If that makes sense.
So speaking of
players – I hate being
players,
wrong more than I like being right.
Fair. Speaking of players' names, and we'll just kind of slide right into the TFCs here real quick. I have this one. I'll just give this one probably. So you all know about the Shota boys, right? The boys that were out in the bleachers.
Oh, yes. These are funny.
So these guys, you know, there was these six gentlemen, and they wrote Shota on their chests, and then they were out in the bleachers, and Shota Imanaga saw it. And then Obvious Shirts All made them shirts, and they got to meet Shota Imanaga. And like, it was just a really great moment. Now, you can see the gentleman who is the O. He doesn't have Shota's line over the O, which I guess that – I don't know. That makes a different sound.
It's mostly – optional, but it's, you know, it's an accent mark so that you say show instead of sha, you know what I mean?
Well, apparently it really does make a difference in whether you use the line or you don't use the line.
For that particular word?
Yeah, for that word. Just like in Spanish, if you didn't put an ñ and you said Feliz Año Nuevo, you would be saying Happy New Butthole instead of Happy New Year. Año Nuevo, right? It's A-N-O is anus. So then, but it's Shota without the O. I mean, with the line.
Without the line, yeah.
Which is
with the line.
Right.
Means, it also has, the word has a meaning. It means large or big or plump. It also can mean to wash or scour or many. Just like, you know, in English, some words have multiple meanings.
All the Europeans, it was like names were like they meant angelic and beautiful. And in his culture, it means to bathe or that he's fat.
So what, Danny, what you're saying is large and plump. That was just those guys saying, this is who we are. We're large, plump white men.
No, that's what his name is.
That is what his name is. With the line. With the line. Those guys weren't saying that.
They were saying something else?
They were saying something else, unfortunately. And Shota without the line has a completely different meaning. And it is unfortunately this. I did look this up and confirm this. Shota means sexual interest in young boys or boy love, prepubescent boy. So these boys were actually saying boy love.
Yes. Which we don't know. Look at that picture. That might be appropriate for exactly what they're saying.
IFG, do you have other information than what I've just put out there?
I think Scrubby Fat Child's worse.
Did you hear something different?
Well, what I
hold on.
I'm asking IFG.
What I find amazing is that Joe from Obvious Shirts saw these guys with no shirts on and this written on their chest. He had one thought. We need to cover those dudes up. And so he made them all shirts, to which they all put on these shirts and everybody was happy. And then they pulled the shirts off and they had the damn thing written on their chest again. And everybody in their brother was like, Joe was being nice. He was being very subtle by telling you, put on a shirt, fat kid. But they
first
didn't
all,
understand.
Here are the shirts, by the way. There's SFO, and then the TA, and there's Shota, and it's delightful. This whole thing is very cool. I think...
There's no line, though.
No, there isn't. Yeah. There doesn't need to be. This is his name. Imanaga Shota. Yeah. That is his name.
Does he know what it means?
Not in English, not in, you know, Latin characters. Or Latin, you know, letters in actual, like, Japanese, his name, Imanaga Shota. There are several different ways to write out in Romaji that long O sound. It's...
Yeah, but what do you make of this, though?
In one meaning,
that
you like...
is not... Is that...
She's saying that's not his, the characters in his name. Yeah.
The characters are different.
The actual
totally different word. I mean,
but if I type in Shota into the Google machine, that's what came
you
up.
You are typing in.
Oh my God! Google machine has never been incorrect.
Yeah,
you're typing in a romanization of a homophone.
Yeah, and when Danny types it in his computer, that's what he gets. When we all type it into our computers, we do not. So, Danny.
I do not.
That's your algorithm.
No, it was in my burner phone.
Oh, wait.
That's worse.
Anyway.
So I do have another TFC here.
Danny's like quickly moving away. He's like, oh shit. Let's go to the next TFC.
He's got matches of lighter fluid right now. He's going to light his laptop on fire as soon as we're done.
You saw nothing. I like this from Terry E. on the Discord. Altuve looks like a fun-sized ninja up there. That was the colder night when he really did. And I also like this one. Pat Hughes has not been in the booth. And our friend, Bullpen Insider Jeff, said, Pat is dealing with a family matter, but is otherwise fine. We'll be back soon. He goes, now this is per Zach Zaidman, so it could be completely inaccurate.
An untrustworthy source.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a shitty broadcaster.
You know what, though? I'll say this for Zach Zaidman. He's better when he's actually broadcasting the game, because then we're not just hearing his fucking cackle in the background all the time. Like, it's so much better when he can't just sit on the mic and laugh. He's trying to get
Michael on this show.
You know what I hate about me? The Zackle is what it really should be called.
Yes, the Zackle.
The Zackle Cackle.
He's no Joe Buck.
No, but even Joe Buck
would never cackle or jackal.
Well, robots cannot.
So I guess that's the show. Anybody else have anything to add to it?
Did we want to talk about the Cubs?
Oh, the Cubs. I suppose we should. We do have to give away the chance.
Yeah, yes. let's do that.
So let's do that. I'm sharing a different one. So hold on.
Cheers. David Elliott says Zaidman is better than Boog, and I will agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Do you know who's better in both of them? Miguel Esparza. And the greatest thing about listening to the Spanish broadcast is that because the Cubs don't know what they're saying, they're actually up there giving their actual opinions as Cubs fans. It's freaking wonderful. Here we go.
I wish I understood Spanish better because I was listening to it the other day. I'm not good at it yet.
Oh!
Hey! Bill, 2 weeks in a row!
Bill, wow. Bill, that's all me, baby.
Wow, congratulations, Bill. I just sent him a card to last night.
Yeah, well, Bill won for the second time last week.
Yeah, he did. That's 2 times in a row. So
you know what, Lyle? Why don't you write the message of hope and doom?
Well, I don't have the cards with me. I don't travel those with me.
Well, you know what? He just got one last week, so Bill's going to get a special one from Maine. How about that?
Yeah, we'll get a Maine card.
Or a Red Sox one.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, God.
I'm sure. All right, well, that is the show, then. Thanks for tuning in. Tell your friends about it.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me, and congratulations, Chicago, on your first-round pick in the NFL draft. I hope that works out for you.
We all know it won't.
You guys have ruined every quarterback that's ever walked through the franchise's doors, so I'm sorry. It's going to be a disaster.
So
you know what? I can only deal with one failed franchise.
Well, that's all we have.
I happen to come across it. Here's a gift to y'all from me, and you can feel free to pull it out anytime you'd like. This is an old screenshot from a Chimichi Dragons game. That guy is holding a sign that says, effectively, "Get to work, you shitty batting lineup."
Ooh, I like this. Let's do that. Get to work, you shitty batting lineup.
That's really great.
That just rolls right off the tongue, too. It's a real catchy.
It might, though.
I mean, we could make our own. It's a complicated shirt.
Yes. It's a complicated shirt. Get to work, you shitty batting lineup.
Well, because Rob Manfred hates American flags and and with his terrible flag glove rules.
He's so woke.
Yeah, freaking woke. Old woke Manfred. Shutting down.
Ye old woke Manfred.
Giving everybody trophies. Letting all the kids play. Putting them out on second base, even if they're not good. Oh, you struck out last inning? What if you just start on second base?
Runners don't miss the bases.
What if they can't see as well as everyone else?
All right, well,
singing the wrong anthem.
Say goodnight, Danny.
Spagog.
Rob Manfred likes opening days in winter. Likes baseball games that don't go on too long. Rob Manfred likes more offense from the hitter. Likes juicing up the ball and hitting dongs. Intentional walks with just a finger. And old umpires who are always blowing calls. Likes the National League DH. But one thing Manfred hates, Rob Manfred hates baseball. And batters who stay inside the box. Likes lessening the ball, dragging forward stitches. And half the team's making the playoffs. Rob Manfred likes pitchers who face 3 batters. And not paying minor leaguers at all. Likes to catch the ball, block the plate. But one thing Manfred hates, Rob Manfred hates baseball. Deals and blackouts. He likes letting the Houston Astros cheat. He likes how ticket prices keep the fans out. and axing teams out of the minor leagues. Rob Manfred's gonna bring us real out of pies to tell C.B. Buckner that he's been wrong. He likes putting money in the bank.